Halloween. You may learn a lot of things you didn't know before. Many of you will agree with everything you hear because it's right out of God's word what I'm going to share. Some of the traditions and things maybe you didn't know where Halloween originated from, but it's pretty enlightening. But in Ephesians chapter 5, we find the Apostle Paul, and he's exhorting Christians to be followers of God, obviously, but he's also telling them to walk in love, and that it's our duty, listen, that it's our duty to avoid the impure practices that surround us, the impure practices of the surrounding pagans. And we're surrounded. You know, when we looked at Israel, you know, they come into the land, they're surrounded by all these pagan nations. And I thought, well, that's really us. You know, you look around at your neighbors on your street and everything, and you love to get them saved, but basically, they're in the same boat. So we're surrounded. Well, in Ephesians 5:11, he writes this. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." The light. "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Let's pray. Lord, we pray you would come against anything that would keep us from hearing, listening, speaking, receiving. Lord, we pray you'd come against the enemy, the darkness, whatever it might be, any attacks. Lord, I pray that you would come against any kind of interruptions or anything like that, Father. We pray for protection. We pray, Lord, for wisdom. And we pray for guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this past week, with all the rain and everything, I kept walking around and I remember telling my wife and kids, "I feel like there's a cloud over me this week." And it's like, "Duh, Jim, look what's coming up today, as you'll see." But I couldn't wait to get here. You know, back when I played sports, there was that thing where you're just like, you just want to get this kickoff off or this face off or whatever it is. And this morning it was like that. There was this real apprehension and everything because of what we're going to share. And some of you might find this surprising, but our responsibility, the Christian's responsibility, it doesn't stop with just rejecting evil, which is pretty much what we just read. We're also responsible for exposing it and opposing it, darkness, wherever it's found, especially when it's found in the church. Now, this says, expose them for what they are, because it's shameful to talk about what some people do in secret. But light exposes the true character of everything, doesn't it? You know, you ever turn on the light and have like a mouse scurry away? Or I've never seen it myself, but I know if you turn on the light, cockroaches flee. And, you know, those kind of things that dwell in the darkness, they flee when the light comes on. Well, so does our enemy, really. When the light of the Lord. Anyways, if you remember, maybe you remember Isaiah 8:20, it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them." Now, and as I said in my prayer at the beginning, God doesn't say anything haphazardly. So if we take God's word and we hear it and we know that we're to apply it and then we go home and do something different, that's not right, is it? If we go home and go, "Oh, this is a harmless thing. I'm going to do this anyway. Nobody will know I'm doing this." Or, "Does God really not like this?" Or, "God wasn't really serious with me, was he?" Yes. You know, because some of these things, we may go home and think, "Well, this doesn't apply to me." Well, in the Old Testament, the Lord told Israel, "When you come into the promised land, never learn the disgusting practices of those nations." In Deuteronomy 18:9, listen to this. It says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." pretty intense. Never sacrifice your sons or daughters by burning them alive. Now, I don't think anybody has here. Maybe you wanted to. No, I'm just kidding. Never. Never practice black magic. Never be or go or see a fortune teller, a witch, or a sorcerer. Don't cast spells. You know what? We were living in this little town, like it'd be like Henrietta to Rochester, Oakville, Toronto. And Candy one day picks up like the penny saver, and right there in the paper, a little ad, sorcerer's camp, wizard's camp, whatever it is, come for a week, learn how to cast spells on your enemies. Kids, a camp for witchcraft, a week-long camp. And we were like blown away, but then we weren't blown away because boy, did we see everything in Toronto. Don't cast spells. Don't talk to or channel with ghosts or spirits for help. Listen, if you're convinced of ghosts, they're demons. Trust me, all right? They are. Don't go to them for help. Don't consult, pray for, or pray to the dead. And anybody who does these things is disgusting to the Lord. They're an abomination. It's that simple. The Lord was forcing those nations out of Israel's way because of their practices, because of their disgusting practices to the Lord. The culture in which we live challenges us. Doesn't it challenge Christians every day with what's thrown at us every day? You know, some of the things that are customs and traditions and all this, they have pagan roots in this junk, channeling with spirits and so on. And just telling my son, if you go across the world, into the past, and whatever, the occult practices are consistent with each other. I mean, you can go from one society to another in a different time, and the practices are the same. They center around human sacrifice and sex and just drugs. I mean, all across the board, all the occult stuff. It doesn't matter whether it's today or it's the past or whatever it is. But we have all these challenges, you know, challenging our Christian lifestyle every day. And without God, you're going to get worn out, right? It's going to wear you out. I know I'd be worn out if it wasn't for the Lord. Well, in Isaiah 47:13, God said to backslidden Israel, "You are worn out by your many plans. Let your astrologers and your stargazers who foretell the future month by month come to you. Let's see them rise up and save you. Let's see those guys save you." I like the way that God puts it. You want to have it that way? Have at it. Let's see them rise up and save you. And as Christians, we can face tough choices when it comes to how we engage the culture with the truth of Jesus Christ. It is a challenge. And October 31st is no exception. Halloween, it's a major money-making holiday that captures so much attention today. Our lives this time of year, every store is filled with Halloween stuff. You've seen it. There's things hanging down and the costumes and the candy and the decorations and all this stuff like this. TV, radio, schools, and on and on and on. They all give attention to October 31st. Why can teachers hang up skeletons and black cats and witches and have jack-o'-lanterns and they can't have a cross in their room? How come you can hang up a scarecrow or whatever, have a pumpkin on your desk, but you can't have a Bible in that room? How weird is this? This is the United States. You can see where I've been all week. You know, I went down and hit the heavy bag a lot this week. Just frustrated. But anyways, Halloween's rooted deep into our culture, and Halloween has just about as many parties as the Super Bowl. More if it falls on a Friday or a Saturday night. Did you know that? Halloween parties. And you know what? 35 years ago, 40 years ago, I remember going to one with Candy, and we won a costume party for our costumes. We won the whatever they gave out. I don't know what it was. We won. Big deal. You know, now my kids mock me because they found the photographs, you know. But anyway, we didn't know any better back then. Well, you have to ask, is this a problem or does this bring up a potential for witness for us as Christians? And I think it does bring up a potential for witness. There's a lot to look at, and I certainly won't get to cover everything, okay? But I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to bring up a few things. I hope to bring up some facts that we can consider for sure. If we looked up Halloween in the encyclopedia, believe it or not, you could go to an encyclopedia, look up Halloween. You know what it says? See holy days. I'm like, whoa. You know, see holy days for Halloween in the encyclopedia. Well, maybe your encyclopedia doesn't say that. I don't know. But the history of Halloween is where we're going to start. The Celts, who lived more than 2,000 years ago in the area from Great Britain to Germany, it kind of started with them. A Celtic vigil pronounced by many as Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, or Samhain, but the Druids and the pagans, etc., pronounced it Samhain. I know if you look at your little track, I'm sorry, that's so bad quality. I'm going to remake those. But if you look at that, it's actually pronounced Samhain, believe it or not. But it's named after the god Samhain, who was the Lord of the Dead. And you know, if you're worshiping the Lord of the Dead, you know, if you're worshiping anybody other than our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, you're worshiping Satan. He's successful in getting you to worship somebody else, which is his goal. So you're actually worshiping him. So they worship the Lord of the Dead. And it's the source of this present-day Halloween celebration. Their new year began November 1st. They believed that this false god gathered the souls of the dead, you know, from the whole year that had died this past year. And these souls have been confined to the bodies of animals. The really good ones just plain went to heaven. I don't know where they, how they figured whether you were how good was good, but he would gather these souls. They were confined to the bodies of animals. You could see where reincarnation kind of comes from, too. But this would make them atone for their sins. And then they were sacrificed on October 31st. Now today, Wicca. Maybe some of you are familiar with Wicca. I became very familiar with it one place that I worked when they found out that I was a pastor, that they tried to get me fired. They tried to come against me and a little group of Christians that were working in this place. And it backfired on them, and they all got fired. It was really, there was a little war going on inside this place, but Wicca is one of the fastest growing cults in America. Wicca is a neo-pagan religion. It can be traced back to Gardnerian witchcraft, which was something that originated in the UK and probably during the late 1940s, but it really wasn't new. None of this stuff is new. But this Gardner guy, he was a magician. Actually, what he was a warlock, is what you'd call him, a sorcerer. So Wicca, it really isn't new, but it's based on the symbols and the seasonal days of celebration, the beliefs, and the deities of this ancient Celtic society, really. So added to this material, believe it or not, were the Masons. They had their say in this, too, the Masonic and ceremonial magic components of recent centuries added to that. And in this respect, it's a religion whose roots go back really almost 3,000 years to the formation of the Celtic society. Modern witches or Wiccans, they celebrate 8 main holidays. Guess which is the number one? Yep. You know what their number two day is? Birthdays. Their own birthday. Why? Because what's Satan's sin? Me, me, me. I. So your birthday, I'm not, please don't. I mean, I know nobody here makes their birthday this great big gigantic thing, but, well, maybe not. But anyways, I'm just going to move along here. So 8 main holidays, the most important one was Samhain, Halloween. It's the worship. Today, they outright will tell you if they're Luciferians, Satanists, Wiccans, whatever you want to call them, they will say, yes, we worship Satan. That's what they'll say. Samhain's considered the most important because the veil between the world of the living and the world of the dead would be at its thinnest. Some say it's totally removed, it's wide open, so the spirits can go back and forth. So, making communication easier. Now, the souls of the dead are reported to come into the land of the living at that point. And they really believe this. So, they're ready to accept him and receive him and everything. Did you know that the IRS has given tax-exempt status to the Church of Wicca, just like us? Tax-exempt status, the official Church of Witchcraft. Their financial gifts are tax-deductible, just like your tithes are. Think about that. Your tithes would be. And state governments license Wiccan clerics to marry couples. Yep. Remember Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. You get that? Expose them. No, we don't want to talk out loud. We might offend somebody. I'm not going to make a stand at school, at work, or whatever. It might offend somebody. This is saying expose it for what it is. But I might say something that hurts somebody's feelings. Really? Wait till you see how God feels about this stuff. Halloween doesn't have a tradition in history that's in any way, shape, or form in line with Scripture or the Christian faith. The history of Halloween and the current cult of it represent evil, flat out. That's it. Halloween's an annual celebration, but what exactly is it actually a celebration of? And how did this weird custom start in the first place? Is it like some claim, just some, you know, lighthearted thing, or is it some kind of demon worship? Or is it just harmless or some pagan ritual? Well, in North America, the yearly observance of Halloween amounts to, I'm having a real hard time talking here, a multi-billion dollar industry. Multi-billion dollars. What if we had that money and we were doing something great with it? Look at all that money there. Send it to Haiti or something where they're really into this stuff. Anyways, it's only second to Christmas. The selling costumes, the candy, the food, the party supplies, all that stuff like that. Greeting cards, the tours to these haunted houses and whatever you want to, whatever. All these other forms of entertainment. But what's the history of this particular day? And I think the story might really surprise you. Because more than 2,000 years ago, the Celts in what is now Ireland, Britain, and France had an elite intellectual class known as the Druids. The Druids were like judges. They were scientists. They were served as religious priests, lawmakers, and so on. They had an elaborate pagan religious festival. They had a bunch of them, but one of which was the fire festival called Samhain, observed at harvest time to mark the Celtic New Year. And the Celts believed again that on this night, the barrier between the natural world and the supernatural was removed, and the spirits of the dead were able to move freely among human beings. I'll tell you what, you go to Haiti like when we did, and we didn't get the usual tour. We got a little more advanced tour, and we went to where the voodoo was the strongest and stuff, and you knew that this stuff's super real, and they're moving among the living all the time down there. This is outright voodoo down there, and you know we learned a lot down there. But anyway, Samhain was the most solemn and important night in the Celtic New Year or year, and the Roman Catholic Church, they came to the Celtic peoples in the 7th century, and some of their traditional folk customs were adopted by the church. They were. In 835 AD, Pope Gregory IV moved the church's Feast of All Saints from spring to November 1st. They still celebrate it, hoping to replace the observance of Samhain by Christianizing the whole thing, all of it. All Saints Day, still observed by that church today. It was to give honor to believers who have died. You know what that is? That's venerating saints. We're not to give glory to anybody but the Lord. Venerating saints. The night before, they held a sacred vigil, a holy mass, in church known as All Hallows Eve, or All Holy Eve, or Hallow Mass, or Halloween. You know, but the old practices of the Druids didn't die out. They didn't go away. And so they were just sort of absorbed. They didn't go away. They didn't make a stand strong enough to make it go away. So it kind of got absorbed. Halloween did become, you know, it did get denounced by the church, and it was considered a witch's holiday and everything. But the Catholic Church added another day, November 2nd, to pray for the dead and to pray to the dead as well. And everybody had to buy a candle. You had to buy a candle to get in on this. These candles and the indulgences that they bought in that church paid for the cathedrals. You had to buy them to get your relatives out of purgatory or limbo, a holding place for those who weren't good enough to go to heaven yet. So you had to buy these candles on that day and get them out of wherever they might be. And I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars were made doing this because many of the dead They were thought to be in limbo or purgatory or whatever, a holding tank until you're good enough to go. And this is not scriptural, not at all. Now, the increase in the occult, it's skyrocketed today. And I know a lot of you guys know this. It's just skyrocketed. Young people look for expression through the occult in increasing numbers. And maybe it's because the church isn't stepping up enough. Maybe we need to get busier. But they're turning to that. Young people look for expression through the occult in increasing numbers. And the Catholic Church reports that they have a huge need for exorcists today. It's off the map. We need exorcists. We can't handle this. But as we know, if you're a born-again Christian, you can't be possessed by a demon. Now, I'm not Catholic bashing. I'm not. This is the truth. And the truth is the truth. And you know what? I'm not holding back on truth for anybody anymore. Not a bit. Not one single bit. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. If I want to stand up here and endorse a political candidate, I can. You know that? Under the Johnson Act, I can say who I'm going to vote for, and I can tell you why you should vote for him. I can't raise money for him here. I can't hold an assembly here, but I could tell you if I want to. And you know what? I'm not holding back anymore. I'm not Catholic bashing. I was a Catholic when I was a kid, and I saw this junk. I was told to pray to dead people. Anyway, back to this. Dressing in costumes and going door to door, it comes from a much later tradition from the British Isles too, a practice not restricted just to Halloween, but masked players would go house to house putting on little plays and musical performances for food and drink. And often these performances had Christian themes. Now, the phrase trick-or-treat custom we know today is basically American now. It's been Americanized and everything. But in the 19th century, when the Irish and Scottish immigrants brought their Halloween traditions to North America, the night became an occasion for pranks and mischief. And as you can tell, it got out of hand. Vandals would go through the night soaping windows, overturning outhouses, pulling up gates from their hinges. The damage got out of control. The pranks were said to be the works of witches and ghosts. But by the 1920s, it wasn't funny anymore. The damage was out of control. The damage to neighborhoods was growing. So to counteract Halloween vandalism, community clubs, believe it or not, like the Boy Scouts, would have alternatives. They'd have a party that night or something like that, organized alternatives that were safe and fun. And then even kids were encouraged to go door to door to receive treats from homeowners and merchants, and at the same time keeping the troublemakers away. So they'd be on patrol. And you could just picture this now. If you got gangs against gangs going out there now. And, you know, a lot of things could go wrong in this, and they did. So anyway, by the 1930s, the practice was popular nationwide here in this country. And as we know, kids' voices crying trick-or-treat became echoed through neighborhood streets. But even further back on that night, the pagans had these huge bonfires because they believed that the evil spirits were afraid of light. And it's true. So they had these great big bonfires. Spirits hated light. The spirits loved to inhabit animals, is what was believed. Their number one animal they loved to inhabit, believe it or not, was the cat. And if it was a black cat, it was even better. And if next could be a goat, and then a rooster. You know what I mean? Crazy stuff. So these people sacrificed them, and then they put their skins on, or their feathers, to basically say, oh, we relate to you spirits. We feel for you. That kind of a thing. Anyway, when we went to Haiti, we stayed at this place and everything, and we had a pastor that took us, and we saw more than what most people see or hear. And I remember on Friday night, I had everybody come down to my room to pray, but when they all left me alone, it's Friday night, and Friday night was the primo night for voodoo. I could hear all the animals, pigs, goats, roosters, cats, all night long. I mean, these are usually animals that are sleeping or quiet at night. Why is the rooster crowing all night long? I thought it only did that in the morning. And I thought maybe it has something to do with Haiti dedicated that island to Satan. And the rooster crowing all night to me was like, you've forsaken me, you've forsaken me, you've forsaken me, you've forsaken me, you've forsaken me. Like with Peter. But anyway, I thought, you know, The animals were restless all night long. Anyway, people sacrificed them, put the skins on and all that. Some pagans even sacrificed their babies to appease evil spirits. They would put cakes and sweets out to please the spirits that would come by. They were called soul cakes. Legend says there was a guy, I was telling Pastor Jack Trent this earlier, that there was a guy named Jack who was so bad, he was a miser and he was so bad, that heaven didn't want him and hell didn't want him. So he was banished to walk the earth the rest of his days with a lantern. And he carved out a gourd and put the lantern in it and he walked around. And one of the legends is that's where the jack-o'-lantern came from. And jack-o'-lanterns were later believed to scare off the evil spirits. Well, masks of gourds were made to scare off evil spirits by the pagans. And the Romans would make masks too, carved out of gourds and things like that, and put candles in them. So you could kind of see where the practice of the jack-o'-lantern came from and everything, to scare off evil spirits. Listen, the pagans back then, they decorated everything in orange and black. You know why? Still today, right? They believed that those were the colors of hell. That's where that came from. Interesting. But that's how a combination of pagan, Christian, and civic elements formed this celebration that we know of as Halloween today. And I'm not even going to scratch the surface. But in recent decades, there's been this great renewed interest in the old pagan beliefs, bringing it back or bringing it even higher. And it's blossomed here in North America. Actually, it's blossomed everywhere, all over the globe, just as prophesied. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy." And basically, they're going to do it without conscience. And I know he's speaking of the church and he was speaking of doctrines and things, but I think we could take that further. It's the church, inside the church and out. It's all over. You look at popular entertainment today, like TV and movies. You see what they glorify today? I mean, you think about it, the rock groups, TV shows, movies and everything, they glorify vampires. They glorify friendly witches. She's not here today. There's a lady we all might know who used to be one, used to be a witch. But she said, "I thought I was a good witch and I found out there's no such thing." And interesting, isn't it? But anyways, friendly witches. These things with occult themes and witchcraft that makes, you know, that they throw it at us in a way that it seems acceptable. You guys remember Bewitched? Some of you, if you're old enough. isn't that cute? Isn't that fun? They were getting you ready, kind of. You know what I mean? Getting you ready. 60s, 70s. Did you know that in Exodus 22:18 it says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live"? Pretty harsh. That's from the Lord. The Puritans burned witches at the stake. You know, and everybody thinks, oh, they were so strict. And you know what? They were great people. If you ever read some of the Puritan writings, they stood for the Lord. They loved the Lord. And they took Scripture literally. They really did. They burned witches at the stake. And some people today think that burning them at the stake is primitive. At least they didn't chop off their heads. Because, you know, I think a hot steak is a lot better than a cold chop. But anyway. Ooh. All right, I'm out of here. Seriously, though, the result is that Halloween today has become strongly associated with the occult and with the preoccupation with the dead. Notice this too? Zombies are everywhere. What's with the zombie stuff? Who wants to see that? Why do people, Zombie mania is everywhere. And you know what I think when I see those zombies or whatever? First of all, I switch the channel, but when I look at them, you know what I think of? The unsaved walking around out there. They're zombies. They are. They're the walking dead. You know, and it's like, almost like a sign, like, look at this, the walking dead. That's you. Well, that's the unbeliever. But the occult and the preoccupation with the dead are two influences that Scripture and the church has always warned against. You see, Satan's not a joke. He's real. And I know you know that. But even though the Bible clearly tells us that God is the world's highest authority, he gave Satan a certain amount of power. With God's permission, the evil in this world is under Satan's control. This is why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, you're all familiar with this, we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And some of us want to think, yeah, I want to pass by that scripture and go to the next book. But this is real. With this election coming up, right now, there's four candidates. One of them is into witchcraft. And it's, you know what? There are thousands of people who tell you this. And when we went to Haiti, they told us back then. And we were like, really? A lot of people will tell you one of them is into witchcraft. One of these candidates. Satan was the first one in history to openly defy God. According here to Ephesians 6:12, there are four different designations or levels and rankings of demons and the evil supernatural empire that they operate in. Listen, Satan's forces of darkness are actually a highly structured organization, I guess, if you want to call it that, so they can be the most destructive that they can be. They're organized in ranks and in armies and so on and given orders, and they do, so that they can be the most destructive that they can. Satan started a way of life that was self-centered, and obviously he rejected God's authority, but that marked the birth of sin, which is nothing more than rebellion against God. Today, sin affects the entire human race. And you know what? We're all guilty and we all deserve death's penalty, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Halloween is rooted in paganism, but this isn't the main reason to discourage this celebration. We can tie many of modern society's practices back into the pagan practices from back when. But there's a much better biblical reason, or lots more better biblical reasons to avoid Halloween than just its pagan roots. Because it continues in the ancient traditions it was founded in. It continues today. So why should we not celebrate Halloween? First of all, because it glorifies death. First, it's important for us to realize that death doesn't come from God. Death is the result of man's own choosing. The scripture plainly tells us, Genesis 2:16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eatest freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God told Adam the only thing he was not to do was to eat from this tree, but if he did, he would die. And it reminds us of a kid, right? If you tell them not to do a specific thing, they have this tendency to want to do that thing. He'll burst if he doesn't. Well, Adam was just like us. He had to touch and taste the untouchable. How many of us, when we see a sign, don't touch, feel like touching it? You know, you might not do it, or you might go, you know, and walk away, but there's this little thing where you're like, I should go touch it. Wet paint. When I was a kid, I always had paint on my fingers because I didn't listen to those signs, I guess. But Adam made a decision to eat, and Romans 5:12 tells us the result of his actions. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There are people today that want to blame Adam for everything. The first thing I say to him is, oh, you haven't sinned? You know, I mean, you've sinned too. I only know of Adam's sin once. I'm sure he probably sinned more than that, but God is not the cause of death, man is. And the second understanding we need to hold on to is that death is an enemy, the scriptures tell us. We're in a battle with an enemy called death. But why is death our enemy? You know what it is? Because it destroys life. And God is the giver of life. God is the creator and the author of life. In God's original creation, there was no sin or pain or disease or death. Remember, man chose to sin, just like everyone else here has. Everyone. And the Bible teaches that death is the enemy of mankind. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And you know what? Our God, our King, our Creator, Jesus, allowed himself to be subject to the great enemy of man, death, for us. It's never going to get old to me. Note that death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. But death has an end, hallelujah. Death will cease to be. The reign of death will be stopped. Man shall be delivered once and for all from death. Death will be swallowed up in victory. I love that. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah 25:8. You know, I know I'm giving you a lot, and it's hard to follow these scriptures, but jot them down and look them up later on. Hosea 13:14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes, the Lord says. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. God's purpose and grace, 2 Timothy 1:10, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. To come, Revelation 20:14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I love this. I had a good time doing this study because he just showed me so much. My question was like, Lord, how am I going to do this? There's just so much stuff. I don't think they're going to be able to sit for 4 hours. But he told me you would, so. So why else should we not celebrate Halloween? Because it honors Satan and demons too. God isn't honored on Halloween. He's not even mentioned. He doesn't even get mentioned. Satan, witches, and demons are honored. The Bible says that Satan and demons are the enemy of mankind. 1 Peter 5:8, we all know it. Be sober. It means clear-minded. But you know what? On Halloween, a lot of people just go out to get drunk. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, our enemy, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who he can consume. He's doing that. He's trying. He's looking. He's stalking. He's waiting. He likes to get the straggler outside of the pack, you know, the little antelope that's like spaces out for a little while and gets off track, and he's sly. You know, he's patient. He's patient. He'll lead you away slowly, really slowly. Now, all through Scripture, Satan's described as the god of this world who blinds men's eyes, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the prince of this world. Jesus said this in John 12:14 and 16. And Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. Think of that. The prince of the power of the air. And you think of what comes over the air? Satan's purpose in making war against God is twofold. First of all, Satan's purpose is power and worship. He wants it and he needs it. He has to have it to receive as much of the power and worship of the universe as possible. If we looked at Isaiah 14:12-17, and Ezekiel 28:11-17, they reveal to us his agenda and the enormous pride involved with this. I will be like the mighty. I will do this, and I will. He lays out his agenda, but there's so much pride involved. Secondly, Satan's purpose is to hurt and cut the heart of God. Do we do that? We do if we do what Satan wants us to. Why does he do that? Because God has judged and condemned Satan for rebelling against him. So Satan does all that he can to get back, everything he can to get back at God and lead us or lead them to sin and to follow the way of evil. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. That's greater is the Holy Spirit in us than our enemy, our adversary. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Are you born again today? Because Satan can really be against you if you're not born again. But if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be saved today. But again, why else should we not celebrate Halloween? Because people sin on Halloween. Many people go out and get drunk on Halloween. They take drugs. You know, one of the things about witchcraft is taking drugs. Hallucinogenic drugs get you, you know, off into the spirit world. You know, alcohol used to be called spirits. There's a reason for that. It takes control of you. Think about it. And the spirits can manipulate you when you're wasted. But anyways, many people get drunk and take drugs. People dress in horrible occultic costumes, and all of this is basically sin, really. It's considered the holiday of hell, and all the bad boys come out for it. Some places, even in the U.S., they would kill people's livestock and drink the blood on Halloween night, October 31st. And kidnappings, maybe you don't know this, kidnappings are always a danger on Halloween night. Kids get kidnapped on Halloween night. You know, the Satanists and the Luciferians would love to find a little baby, most of all, that's never been baptized. But they'll take a lot of things to sacrifice on their altars. They really will. So you got to be careful on that night. Cops find little altars all over the place the next day. Did you know that? You don't hear a lot about this. You know, years ago, Calvary Chapel did a series of movies and things, Occult Invasion, I think it was called, and I watched as some of these policemen were telling what they find. Little stone altars with animal bones. Once in a while, they'll find human bones. They find these after Halloween. And a lot of this stuff isn't reported. But one cop, he looked at the camera and he says, "You don't know who your neighbor really is." It could be the guy, "Hey, Joe, have a nice day. See you later." And at night, he's worshiping Satan. It's that rampant. It's that normal, I guess. What does normal mean? But anyway, 1 Corinthians 10:20. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils." So participation in any idolatry is fellowshipping with devils. And the devil and his angels or demons are all behind idolatry. Whether it's idolatry of a pagan society or whether it's the idolatry of a well-educated society, doesn't matter. Scripture definitely declares in Colossians 1:13 that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And if you noticed, they're conditioning you to see lots of blood. Get used to blood. Blood doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I could take all the blood. Blood's all over TV. They're desensitizing us to that. You know, I'm not watching a lot of TV lately, but this blood thing, this occult garbage tries to desensitize us to blood and death, demeaning its importance. Hebrews 9:12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Jesus entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." God himself did this, his own blood. Satan, though, he's subtle too. Listen to this. I know many of you know this, but think about this. 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15. Paul says, look it, don't be overblown or over-marveled. He says, "And no marvel." Listen, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light," or he can. "Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." So the prince of darkness masquerades as an angel of light, or he can. He can come in a different appearance. He doesn't have a red suit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. I mean, I don't think he wants to come to us scaring us away. I think he wants to entice people with beauty and all that. He was the most beautiful angel at one time. But anyway, he masquerades as an angel of light. In other words, he disguises himself. And the first thing I thought of was like trick-or-treaters. But he attempts to be a messenger of truth. So it's not surprising that his quote-unquote missionaries do as well. Satan deceived Eve in disguise, and he holds unbelievers captive. They all attempt to deceive and enslave his minions or whatever. Think of all the reported apparitions that you've heard about. You know, these apparitions, oh, this appeared to me, that appeared to me, whatever. You think about these things, they don't line up with Scripture. Those of angels, you know, the angel Moroni, or spirit guides, or Mary. These apparitions don't hold true to Scripture. To pray to me, the apparition would say. Right away, these people should be blowing off this demon that's come to them. It's totally impossible to participate in the true worship of God and in the worship of devils too. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Deuteronomy 11:16 says, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and you turn not aside and serve other gods and worship them." So why else should we not celebrate Halloween? You know what? Because God himself hates Halloween. How do I know that? God says, Psalm 119:104, "I hate every false way." Okay, if we take God at his word and it's all true, I hate every false way. Do you know how much stuff that covers? Every false way. So, you know when you're going, well, I can't. No, every false way. Well, I can bend. No, every false way. Well, let's no, I hate every false way. It's pretty plain. God doesn't hate mankind, but he hates man's evil ways. Genesis 6, verses 5 and 7 say, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This was pre-flood. I think we're almost there. Only evil continually. I know it's going to be that way in the tribulation. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from off the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Wow. You see, God is wearied by man's sins. Isaiah 43:24 says, "Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." God is broken. Listen, though. Think of God. You love the Lord, don't you? God is broken by man's sins. Yep. In Ezekiel 6:9, God says, "I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me." They departed from me, and their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations. You see, God is grieved by man's sins. Think of it. You can grieve God. I know we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. Psalm 95:10 says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. You see, we've got the manual to his ways right here in front of us. They haven't known my ways. They don't read it or believe it or accept it or apply God's word in their lives. We could sit here and go, yep, 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 but not take it home and apply it. Well, God is grieved to the depths of his heart. That's a big heart, too. That's a lot of grief. Genesis 6:6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, these are all good reasons not to celebrate Halloween, and we need an alternative maybe, and many in our community might benefit from it, especially our children. And I don't have a suggested alternative. This is something you've got to think about. Do I stay home and hand out candy? Ask the Lord. Do I pass out tracts? Be careful about that. Boy, did we get some nasty phone calls on that one time. Be careful. We can bury our head in the sand if we want to, or we can rise to the occasion of one of the biggest opportunities that we have on October 31st. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Seek God on what you should do. Don't ask me. We now have a tradition where we go to a movie. But I think our witness in our community, the lady across the street stopped decorating her house. Seek God in what you're to do. Man was God's creature, the most noble and dignified creature ever created, but man abused God's love and purpose in creating him. And I think Halloween just falls right into that. Man rebelled against God. He rejected God's love and purpose in creation. Man chose to reject God, to ignore, to neglect, to deny God as creator. Listen, we need to turn to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't turned to Jesus Christ, obviously you need to do that. But we need to turn to him to save us from the penalty of our sins. Make the right choice today. Choose to turn from sin. Choose to turn to Jesus Christ today. Well, I already have, you say. Well, what about this stuff then? Are you going to go home and things are just going to be as normal? Or are you going to take this to heart? Or, you know, are you going to, well, I got a really cool costume at home, Pastor Jim. Tough. Sorry. Give it to me. No, I'm just kidding. Well, listen, this is to close. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And Belial can mean the heathen, it can mean the devil, it can mean the worthless. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Mine. I love the idea of possession. I am his, but you know what? He's mine too. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So maybe again you're thinking, well, what do I do now? In my neighborhood, in my school, in my workplace, pray. Yes, it's my answer to everything, yeah. And if you're like, oh, pray, he says that every time, then there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your prayer life. I mean, pray. Plus Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. And you remember when we did our study of James? James told us, James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask, pray and ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's saying, ask God. He won't rebuke you for asking, for he's your loving heavenly father. He wants to guide you in what to do. What do I do about this Halloween thing? I don't know what to do, Lord. You think he's like doing that? Ask him, pray. And it, the wisdom, shall be given to us. But we need to ask in faith, nothing wavering, because he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think that they shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. You know what? Don't be double-minded today. Make up your mind. Go with God. Go with the Word of God. Do what it says. Forget the evil. Put away the darkness. Seek the Lord. See what he says. Don't be unstable in all of your ways. Think about this season coming up. And don't go back to what you did last year if it was wrong. Thinking, well, nobody knows me. I live really far away from everybody else. And you know, I love Halloween. I've got a really good Frankenstein costume. No. Let's stand and pray about this. Lord, we thank you for your tremendous love. You know, Lord, we can look at the Word of God as our loving Father warns us because he doesn't want us to fall into trouble and into harm and get messed up in the ways of the world or the ways of the enemy. Lord, you love us. You gave your life for us. You love us protectingly, Lord. Your grace and your mercy are just so tremendous, Lord. You show to us your love constantly, your forgiveness. Lord, you give mercy to us. Lord, you give grace to us. We couldn't possibly deserve any of these things. Your sacrifice for us shows your love for us. Father, help us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Please give us discernment, Lord, on what you would have us to do. Help us to make a stand for righteousness, Lord, and to proceed as salt with grace in this crazy world, Lord. Please, we ask for wisdom. We know you won't hold it back. Lord, and make it rain on Halloween night. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.